Hey, good morning. Hey, welcome to URA Community Church. My name's Ron, and I'm the lead pastor here. It's so good to have all of you here with us today. And man, it's good to see you. I missed you last week. Some of us were able to gather together last week we just kind of all ended up here. But we didn't have any water last week, and that makes bringing a group of people together kind of difficult. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard, especially when you got a bunch of kids who need the bathroom. So we were forced to make that call, and we're going to talk today about circumstances and things that happen and why they happen and different things like that. But that was just one of those things we couldn't help, and so we don't know why God had it happen that way, but He did. And so today is kind of our official kickoff to 2018. Here at URA Community Church. So thanks for being here with us. And just want to remind you came in and kind of got a little packet of stuff. One is a program, and it's got on it a couple things on one side or some message notes so you can follow along today and maybe fill in some blanks, maybe help you remember some things, and then some scripture to be able to read along with and different things. And we'll put that on the screen as well. But then also there's a connection card, and that's just a way for us to be able to just to get to know each other. And if you have been attending URA Community Church, I'm going to ask you today to take that and fill that out completely today, just to make sure we have everything up to date. You know, the first of the year is a good time to just make sure you've got everything. So I'm going to ask you all to fill that out. And then if it's your first time maybe with us, I want to invite you to fill that out. And that's just a way for me to get to know you and for us to have an opportunity to say thank you for coming. And so if you'll just take yours out to the table out there, there'll be someone out there to greet you and just to say thanks, and we'd love to just get a chance to meet you officially. And and the rest of us, in a little while, we're going to pass some baskets, and you'll get to just drop your connection card in there as well. So thank you for being here. Let's get kind of dig down into it in this new series called Perspective. It's the next 4 weeks we're going to just spend some time going through this. It's kind of one of my favorite books of the Bible. We're going to be looking at the book of Philippians, and it's one of those just neat, encouraging books of Scripture, and it's a letter that's written to be encouraging to a church. And so today, as we start this, I hope it'll begin to encourage you, and you'll be able to maybe have a new perspective on some things that maybe are going on in your life. And we'll spend some time in it, digging through it, but then hopefully as we go through it, it'll definitely help us to just think of things and look at things maybe just a little bit different. A little context about this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote this letter. He was a church planter. He planted the church in Philippi, where this letter went. And he has planted a lot of churches. This is one of them. About 52 AD is when he did plant this church. And so Paul was a very proud guy. He was a real hard worker, and he didn't believe that those churches that he had planted and moved on should have to support him and different things. So he'd always tried to not be a burden and tried to find ways to make his own way through that. But he had found himself in a very difficult time, and the church in Philippi had sent him an offering to help him. And so they had sent him this money, and normally he would not have received it, but he was just in that place where he believed that it was just a blessing from God through them, and he wanted them to be blessed by being a blessing. And so he received it, and so he's writing this letter to them. This is about 10 years after he's planted it, and he's writing it to be able to say thank you to them for what they had done, and then also to just give them some encouragement. And so that's what this letter, this book of Philippians as we call it, but this letter is about. And so we're going to look at some high points from it, just to kind of, as we go through it, to be able to encourage us. But the overall theme, it's unmistakable in this letter, in this book of the Bible, it's joy. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have trouble having joy. You know, and sometimes there's all kinds of stuff going on. It's just hard to be joyful. And I'm not talking about happy. If you've been here at all, you know I have a whole spiel about being happy. But happy goes like this. It's always up and down, and it goes with our circumstances. And joy is one of those things should not follow our circumstances. Joy is something that comes from Christ living in us and our relationship with Him, and that's how we're gonna approach this over the next few weeks. But Paul specifically talks about joy. There's like 19 different times that he talks and calls out joy in this word, and so we want to help us to be able to look at that, because you know I love whenever you find out something that really changes your perspective. I love having my perspective changed, because sometimes we just have some bad perspectives on stuff. We look at stuff wrong, we get our own opinions, and we form those opinions based on what's happened in our lives and things we've been through, and so we automatically look at everything through a particular set of glasses. And so I love when things come along and they help kind of wipe and clean up my glasses, you know, and allow me to look at it a different way. You ever met somebody, and when you first met them, you're like, I don't like them. They're a jerk. They're snobby. Now, don't elbow anybody, and please don't point at anybody, especially me, but you, we've all met those people, right? And we've all had those opinions. You know, don't point up here, but just, you know, think about it. And then you have this opinion where you don't like them. You think they're just you know, terrible. And then all of a sudden you find out something about them and your whole perspective changes, because now you realize where they've come from and what they've been through and some of the things that have caused them to become that person. They may be withdrawn to themselves because of things that have happened or whatever. Or if you just get to know them, you realize that you were completely wrong about them and they're really a great person. And so it takes certain things to change our perspective. And once we get a new perspective, things certainly look different. I remember growing up and thinking that the kid down the street was rich. He always had the newest of everything. He had the best of everything. And it was always like, man, I'm going down there because I'm going to get to play with what, you know, whatever. Because that's what he just always seemed to have it. So I just always thought they were rich. And then I grew up and I realized they weren't rich. His mom and dad were just in debt a whole lot, you know. And they were doing things for him to help him, you know, to kind of take the place of them being there with him. And so you kind of begin to get a different perspective and you realize, man, that it's not all about having all that stuff necessarily. That sometimes those things have other meanings to them. And you realize that your perspective was all wrong. You know, I thought two-year-olds were really bad. And then I got a teenager. And I got a whole new perspective, right? No, she's good. I was giving her a hard time this morning. But you know what I mean? It's like sometimes you think something's really tough until you face something else. And then you're like, wow, that wasn't so bad. You know, things seem to look a little bit different. And just a little bit of information can often affect that perspective and allow us to look at things different. And that's what we need to understand about this letter to the Philippians, this letter about joy, where Paul is, you know, is just encouraging them to look at their circumstances and to just be joyful regardless. You see, Paul's writing this, and he's in prison. He's chained to two Roman guards. And now, I don't know about you, but I don't know that would be very joyful to be chained to two dudes all the time, and I couldn't go do what I wanted to do. But here's Paul saying, listen, be joyful. Be joyful regardless of what you're going through. And so the perspective of the writing of this letter should help us to now be able to say, you know what, maybe I do need to change how I'm looking at things just a little bit differently. The things that we're in right now maybe aren't as bad as they seem to be before, and maybe I can look at it different, and I can make it through it, and I can come out with a smile versus coming out with just dragging the ground. So this perspective that we're going to look at today comes with a little bit of context that Paul is writing. It says, listen, you can do it. You can make it. I'm here. You're there. At least you don't have this. And so today, maybe we can just look at it and say, hey, it's a little bit different. He writes this in Philippians chapter 1 and beginning of verse 2. He says, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Now listen to this emotion that he has. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. That's been me this week. Because I missed hanging out with y'all this week and us coming together. And so this week I've just been praying very specifically for a lot of you in ways that you probably don't even know, and just ways I didn't know I needed to pray until I just began to pray for you. And things just kind of began to come. And I believe it's just God was just, things just, there's just some perspectives that need to change. And so we've been praying, and that's where Paul's at. He says, I give thanks to my God for you. Verse 4, whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. There's that first time we see joy here. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Now here's the encouragement. And verse 6, and I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And listen, if you hadn't been encouraged by anything else, just listen that God, who's begun something in you, is going to see it through. If we don't get anywhere else today, you need to walk out of here just knowing God, if he's working in you, he's going to work to, he's going to keep going. He's not going to skip out on you. He's not going to stop it, but he's going to do it. Verse 7, so it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. Here he's saying, even in my imprisonment, he's finding all of this should be able to do, even though you know that I'm in jail, I'm in prison, I can't do what I want, that there's something good that can come out of this. He knew the Philippians would be worried about him. They had heard the stories. They knew where he was. And so he's trying to help them and encourage them by knowing this. And so I'm sure if there was anything that Paul could change at that moment, it would be the fact that he wasn't chained up, that he wasn't in prison, that he could be out sharing the gospel freely and preaching wherever he wanted to go and wherever God led him to go. I'm sure that if he could change it, that would have been one of the things just in his physical flesh, you know, in himself, that he would want to be free. So let me ask you this question. What's going on in your life today that you wish was different? What is it that you wish was different? I think if we're all honest in the room, there are things that we would have be different. That there were relationships that would be different. That there are situations and, you know, maybe where we live or where we're going through or whatever, that there would be things that we would want to be different. And I think all of us, if we're not there, have been there, and hang on. Because if you're not there, you're going to be there. Because things are just going to come that you're not going to want to be part of your life. When we're young, what do we want to be? Older, right? And when we're older, what do we want to be? Younger, right? If we're married, you know, we want our marriage to be good. If we're not married, we want to be married. And if we're married, we hopefully want our marriage to be better, not married, okay? That's a whole nother sermon, and come back in a couple weeks and we'll talk about that. Get me to the side and we'll have a little conversation. But there's always something different than what we want, right? If we're working for somebody, we want to be in charge, don't we? If we're in charge, because of all the people like us below, that we don't want to be in charge. And it happens that way, that there's always perspectives that change and there's situations that we wish were different. So I want to help us to be able to look at things a little bit different and be able to help us. So here's some thoughts on perspective. You can fill in the blanks on your outlines, but here's what we all have a what and don't understand the why. We all have that what, whatever's going on, whatever's happening to us, whatever situation, we've got a what and we don't understand the why. This what is there, but we don't know why we're going through it. Right, I've shared with you a couple weeks ago. You know, my great nephew passed away, born premature and passed away, and so I'm trying to help my niece and her husband go through that. And I'm thinking, how in the world do you help somebody get perspective on this? How do you help somebody have joy in this moment? But the only way to ever have any hope in that is to know that there's a why on the other side of that what. To know that there's something that God's going to use that for to help us get through it. So we have a what and we don't understand the why. Here's the good news. God always has a why behind the what. He always has a reason for either sending you through it or allowing you to go through it. There is a reason. If you're in a difficult moment in your life, let me just tell you, there's something that God wants to do. He would not let you go through it. He would protect you from it if there wasn't. I absolutely believe that because he tells us that, you know, he loves us and he doesn't want us to, you know, harm to come to us. He wants to, you know, to do everything possible for us to be able to have the abundant life that Jesus talks about. He wants us to have that. So there is a why behind the what. Here's the key to getting it all together is I don't have to understand the why to trust God in the what. I don't have to know why. I don't have to understand it to then still be able to trust him in it. And I think that's where we have that's where there's often the disconnect, is that we want to understand it in the moment. And listen, we don't have to understand it. We don't have to have any inkling of why to still be able to trust God in it. I think that's why it's called trust. To be able to give everything over to him regardless of knowing the purpose of that moment, that circumstance, that hurt, whatever it may be. We don't have to understand it, though, to be able to get through it. I may wish it was different, and I may beg God to do something else in the moment. But I don't have to get it there to just be able to trust him that he is going to get it to me. He's going to get me through it, and he's going to help bring it to a point of change. And so those are some thoughts, but there are some questions that I believe we have to ask ourselves when life is hard. And to be able to then be able to trust God in the what without knowing the why and all that, we've got to be able to ask some questions, and I want to help us kind of maybe simplify this a little bit today so that when those times come and we find ourselves just not sure why, but we certainly have a what, then what do we do with it? And so the first question is this. Now what? Now what? Now, if you're like me, you can ask that question with some different emphasis, right? You know, now what? Like really wanting to know. And then sometimes you can say that with a now what, right? And I think that's often what we do in our circumstances is it's not the now what of really wanting to know. It's just the throwing our hands up and saying, now what? Just something else that I got to go through. Just some other thing that's just not going my way. Some other thing that I wish was different. Just some other thing that's just going against me right now. Anybody there? Yeah, I'm telling you. I find myself there a lot, you know. And that's why it's kind of, you know, at first I was writing and I was thinking, you know, how you put the emphasis on something is certainly what you're going to get out of it. If you put your emphasis on that, oh my goodness, you know, the sky's falling and it's caving in on me. Well, you know what? I think that's what you're going to keep getting. And you're never going to be able to get to any understanding of the why if you're constantly just worried about this what and what it could be. But the way that this needs to be is it's a now what. God, now what? Now what do I do next? What's my next step in this moment? To be able to see you do what you want to do in it. Now what, God? Because I'm trusting you that there is a good why behind this. And even though I don't see it, I'm trusting you. Now what? What do I need to do? Where do I need to go from here? And Paul says this in verse 12. I love it. He says, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me. Now let me just stop. Let me ask you this question. Not out loud, just rhetorically, obviously. What's happened to you? Well, what's happened? Because we all got a what, right? So I want you to think about what has happened to you. And think about it here, not what did you do, okay? Because that sometimes, that becomes very accusatory, right? That sometimes we did something to deserve what we got. And that's not the case. Many times it's that God is allowing things to happen in us, to the why is to grow us, not to punish us, not to beat us down. You know, and not to share too much of that story, but just with my niece, it was, why did God let this happen? We ask that question a lot, don't we? Why? Why did God let this happen? And it was almost as if she was asking, why is he doing this to me? Why is he punishing me? You ever ask those kind of questions? Instead of trusting God in it, it's like, well, why are you doing this to me? As if he wants to hurt me or hurt you. We come across that, but it's not that. It's maybe that you've lost a job. Maybe you lose your job because you did something wrong. If you did something wrong and you didn't do your job right, well, you can't really blame that on God, you know. But the thing is, maybe you lost your job. Maybe you got a bad report from the doctor. Nobody, you know, we don't get sick in that regard. Maybe it's a relationship that's just massively messed up. Maybe it's a just this dead end where you're at. Maybe your cat had kittens. I don't know. So if that's the case, that's really bad. Anyway, so all the cat lovers will get me now. But anyway, I just had to think about what would be like really bad that, anyway. So I don't know what it is for you, but maybe something's happened. If you're a first-time guest, I do love cats. Not really, but just come back anyway, okay, please? Anyway, so what is it? Where are you at? What's happened? Don't get stuck on that. Paul says this, everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. See, sometimes things happen, and many times they happen, for good things, to move things along. Paul says, listen, I'm in prison. I've gone through what I've gone through. I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked. I've been snake bit. I've been all of this stuff that's ever happened to him, and it's a long list of stuff, y'all. He says, but listen, what's happened to me here has helped to spread the gospel. The translation, the words that were translated to spread there was a military term. It was to move forward and advance. It was often used to mean the guys who would go in and cut down the brush so that the army could then come through and do what needed to happen. You ever feel like you're cutting the brush so something can happen? You ever feel like you're having to be the one chopping down the trees so the others can sometimes get through to where they need to be? I don't know about you, but there's been so many things in my life that I've gone through, and I had to go through it, and it was difficult, and it hurt, and it was some of the most painful stuff I've ever been through, but I had to go through it because now I got to minister to somebody else who's going through it. And so my going through it enabled me to do it. I'm just going to tell you, it's the only reason and the only way I was able to minister to my niece and her husband through all of that is because I've been there and know it. I know what that feels like. And without being able to experience the pain and to understand the pain and you know, for me to watch my wife go through it, there's no way I could have helped them the way that I was able to help them to this point. Sometimes we got to go through and chop down the brush for God to be able to come in and do something amazing in someone else's life. And when he does that, listen, that's not him throwing us out. That's just him then using us in a greater way, making us stronger to be able to be the tool and the instrument that he wants us to be. So here's Paul, he's saying, listen, all this I've gone through, everything that's happened to me has been so that the gospel can go forward, so that people can continue to hear about Jesus and be changed for eternity. So maybe today you feel like you're in prison. Maybe you feel like you're chained to something today. But let me help you have a little different perspective on this and ask the question, now what? Because maybe you being chained where you're at today, maybe the prison that you're in is going to become your pulpit. Maybe the the prison and the struggle that you've got now, being in the middle of whatever you're in, is going to someday be that pulpit that God uses to then help you help someone else. Maybe he's going to take you through it so that you can be the blessing that someone else needs. Verse 13 says, "For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ." Listen, Paul, maybe you're thinking, like, I'm not in jail. I'm free to move about, and it's really hard for me to tell somebody about Jesus. It's really hard for me to live out what I believe in my faith because, you know, just whatever reason. Maybe you're thinking that's hard, and then Paul's here, he's in prison, and you're like, dude, you need to quit preaching this stuff and get out of jail. You know, if you'll quit preaching, maybe they'll let you out. You know, how can you say that this is a good thing that you're in chains? But Paul says, listen, I'm here because God's using this to bless other people. See, here's the thing. Every 6 hours, there was a change. There were two new guards that he was chained to, two new people to tell about Jesus. At different points, they were bringing in the imperial palace guards that would come in. There would be this next higher level guy that he was able to be with to then tell about Jesus. God was exposing him to all of these people through his imprisonment to then be able to have the gospel, the good news of Jesus, spread. So maybe the day that you're going through what you're going through, that so that somebody else will come into your path, that you're able to live out your faith and then share Jesus with them. Maybe there's a nurse in that doctor's office where you got the bad report that just needs to see somebody live Jesus out in the midst of struggle, and they are lost and don't know him, and they just need to be able to have that witness before them. Maybe there's somebody else who really is struggling financially and needs to see us go through financial struggles to be able to then just be willing to see that we can have faith and we can hold on and trust him through it all. I don't know what it may be for you, but there is a now what for all of us that we need to be able to do. Your misery could become your ministry. Whatever it is, maybe you've never thought that that was an area that you could help people, but maybe you're going through it now to be able to help somebody else later. You know the best people to help addicts? Are recovered addicts. That's right. Those who've been through it and who understand it. One of the things that I believe that our church is going to become at some point as we go through these next couple of years and we begin to put some things into place is we're going to become a place that's going to help people going through addictions. Amen. I believe that. That God, you know, why are we here? If we're just here to have an hour of church every week, we're just missing the boat, y'all. Amen. It's not about that. It's about us being able to make a difference in our community. And so I believe that's going to happen. And so I've wanted to do that for a long time. I've wanted us to have a program like that. But, you know, the only person I knew that was stepped up at the moment and ready to lead it was me. Now, if you know me, I've had some addiction issues in the past, not drugs, and I'll just be straight up with you. It was pornography, and if that maybe that's a problem with some people, but I'm just being honest with you. But God's brought me through that, and so I can help. And I have helped people through that. I can't necessarily help someone through alcohol addiction. I haven't been there. So we've got to be able to do that. We've got to be able to have those things in our lives to be able to do that. And so listen, let me just say this real fast. If you have a problem, you know, I do like cats. And if you have a problem with your pastor having a former porn addiction problem, come back anyway, okay? Because it just happens. We've been there, and God's used that in a great way. So don't be turned off by it. But we need to be able, don't leave, chat. No, I'm just kidding. I know he's not leaving for that. I just had to pick on him a little bit, sorry. Just had to pick on him. So here's the thing. As we go through it, then we've got to figure out the what of it. And my what is to be able to help other people. Yes, ma'am. you know what? It's not my notes. I'm just saying. God knew what I was supposed to say today, okay? So, yeah. Thank you for, thank you. Because see, that's why we got to be here. There's people that have been in our church who've been struggling with things that none of us knew about. And I know they're in here today. And if we were all honest and began to share, anybody else want to share? Hey, I'm good. Come on. But we've all been there in some way, whether it's us personally or people around us. And there's just things that God wants to do in us. It's not a joke, y'all. That's not an accident. I'll show you my notes. That part wasn't in there, but I just felt like I was supposed to say it. So God wants to move us in there. He wants our what's to be important. And here's what he says, verse 14, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. I'm just telling you, I didn't share what I just shared. She doesn't share what she just shared. And you don't share what you got to share, then whoever else is struggling can't share what they got to share, and so healing can't start. That's the way this is supposed to work. Paul then said, because I'm in chains, because I've had to go through this imprisonment, now people are hearing the gospel, and other people who aren't in chains are able to go out and tell other people more boldly because they've seen me do it in my situation. And your situation is going to let somebody else be able to get through their situation, and God's going to use it in a great and powerful way. We got to ask now what? What is it, God, that you want to do? What's coming next? What do you want me to do with it? I'm here. Because I can just tell you that if you're going to go through it, you might as well let him use it for something. Now what? Second question is this. So what? So what? So what? There was some division going on in the church, and so Paul wanted to use this to be able to answer some questions. And so in verse 15, he says, it's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, and others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely intending to make my chains more painful to me. But listen, it sounds like he's kind of getting on him, right? But then verse 18 says, but that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice. Listen, we got to make the main thing the main thing. What's most important, listen, I am not for falsely preaching the gospel of Christ. I'll never do that intentionally. I would never, ever use the gospel for any other motive. I wouldn't do it to come up with my own meaning out of it. I don't want to ever do that. I could, not intentionally, and that could happen, all right? But I'll just promise you, I'll never do that, and I'm never for preaching the gospel wrongly. But sometimes God can, if he can use, are there kids in here? Yeah, okay. Listen, don't, he used an ass in the Bible, y'all. He did, a donkey, okay, to speak. So he can use anybody at any moment for anything, okay? It's using whatever it takes to get the gospel wherever. He doesn't want it to be falsely preached. He doesn't want it to be falsely lived out. He doesn't want it to be fake. He wants it to be real. But listen, he says, even if it's not coming from somebody who's real, the gospel's real. And the message and the one that they're talking about is real. And he died on a cross to pay the price for the sins of everybody, and that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That if Jesus is preached and people believe in him, that he died on a cross, paid the price for their sins, was buried and raised again, that whoever would trust and believe in it would be saved. Listen, he'll use circumstances to get us to that place. And so sometimes we get so hung up on all the mess of it that we totally miss out on what's most important. The gospel is most important. To live it out and preach it so that people understand it. Most important. We could gossip about people and their situations. We could write letters about it. We could, you know, send the pastor emails. We can do all kinds of stuff about situations and people and their, all their things. But the truth of the matter comes down to is what? So what? So what if somebody's living that out? Then the main thing is are they going to hear the gospel? Sometimes I get hung up on little things and get focused on stuff around here. And, you know, because listen, this is God's house. And God's, this is his place. And you know what? Every Sunday, company's coming. I just believe the place ought to be clean and it ought to be neat and it just ought to be in order in certain ways. And sometimes when it's not, I get kind of frantic about it, right? And I get running around here, and some of you have seen me with that look in my eye, and you just know that I'm doing whatever. But it's because it is important to me. But ultimately, when it all comes down to it, I just know nobody's going to not hear the gospel because of that trash on the floor. Amen. But I'm going to pick it up, but it's ultimately not going to keep them from hearing it, okay? Nobody emptied the trash cans. You know what? Jesus is still Jesus, okay? There are things that we have to be able to overlook and different things. Here's the question. In 100 years, what's it going to matter? Is it really going to make a difference? There are some questions that the answer to that is yes. Did we tell people about Jesus? Did we invite people to come so they could hear the message? Did we do everything that we could do to fill the place up? Did we do everything we could so that people understand that it's not about a show, it's not about, you know, all the things we could do. I love our band, and they are awesome and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you know what? I always tell them this. If they hit a bad note, you know what? So what? If you don't come to Jesus because of that, it's because you're not going to come to Jesus anyway. That's just my opinion. All right? So if it's just one of those things. So we got to be careful what we get hung up on and all of this. The question is, so what? So what if things don't go the way we want? We've got a responsibility to share the good news of Jesus no matter what. This last year has been kind of a struggle. And it's been hard around here. You know, we have gone through some difficulties. We've gone through some, man, I'm telling you, you talk about eking it out financially. This past year, we eked it out financially to just make sure, and we not behind on one thing, didn't miss, everything was done and paid. We didn't get to do a lot of things that we wish we could have done. But we didn't run out of toilet paper one time. I'm very proud of that. I obviously got paid and didn't miss any meals, all right? I mean, some good stuff happened. The end of the day, that stuff's important. It is important that we give. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But it is important that we give. And it's important that we're generous. And it's important that we, you know, but listen, God said what first? What is most important?
Love God.
Love God, right? To love Him. What's second? Love others, right? And then third? I just wondered if y'all would even guess at something. He didn't say what's third. It's just, but we believe that it's to go and tell people the good news of Jesus. We believe that being devoted to God and devoted to loving others and devoted to sharing the good news, man, that's what makes us a good church. It's what brings us along. It's what any church should be focused on. Because that's what he said was most important. And he commanded us to go and commissioned us to go. So what does it help us if we get focused on the wrong thing? What does it do for us? It totally helps us miss what God's got for us. But when we learn to not focus on what's not important, and we become it frees us to focus on what is most important. I think one of the greatest moments in history, and I think most of us in the room are old enough to get this, but 9/11 was one of those moments in history. If you remember like 9/11, like you couldn't find a seat in a church. And every church was packed and everybody was, you know, I would love to see what the numbers would be on Christian clothing and all the things that were, you know, Bibles that were bought. And it's got to be crazy how much that changed right in those, you know, that year or two right there after 9/11. But we became focused on what was most important. Family was important, and our country was important, and our faith was most important, and it was like this big focus on it. Here we are, you know, 17 years later, 16 years, I guess, a little over. I think we might be due, right? Because we've forgotten it again. Because we've become focused on what's most important, and we've gotten focused on so much else. Satan is very good at getting us distracted off of those things. But we've got to learn to say, so what? There's this really interesting little phrase. It's tisgarplein. Tisgarplein is Greek for so what? What does it matter? And we need to be able to have this tisgarplein attitude towards a lot of things. You know, something interrupts our favorite show. Man, cable goes out. You know, you dish subscribers when it rains, whatever. You know, you just need to be able to say, so what? What's the problem? Running late? Train slows you down a little bit? Maybe you just need to say, you know what? So what? Maybe it kept me from some other situation. Maybe it's delayed me so that I do run into a certain situation. So what? This morning, maybe you've already noticed it. There are these streaks down my shirt. So I've been doing really good. I've been eating oatmeal, these little power protein oatmeals for breakfast. They're about this big. You put a half cup of water in them. You stir them up, put them in the microwave for 1 minute, cook it. You got power oatmeal. I just like the sound of it. Power oatmeal, right? And it's good stuff. And so I've been eating that for breakfast. And so this morning, you know, I said, nope, I'm not even going to break it for Sunday. Not going by McDonald's. They kind of know me over there on Sunday morning. And I said, nope, not going to do it. I'm gonna do my oatmeal, and I'll be ready to go for my people today, right? So I get here, stir it up. And first thing I do is, you know, you got to lick the spoon, right? I mean, anybody not lick the spoon? That's just, if you don't, you're weird. But anyway, so you lick the spoon, and when I go to lick the spoon, guess what? I miss, I guess. So I'm in there with my daughter Erin, who's 8, and she's doing it. And so I drop it on, I'm like, oh, you know, first thing, and I'm thinking, oh man, and then I'm like, oh, preaching on joy today. And so I'm like, oh man, you know, I said, Erin, look at this, look what Daddy did. You know, and I try to turn it, and she's like, oh, Daddy, you know, she's just having a ball with it, and she's having so much fun with it, she spills her own drink on her, and so we're just both laughing at each other because we look like we're slobs and can't take care of ourselves, right? And so then I go, I put my oatmeal in the microwave, put it on for 1 minute, and thanks to a couple here at the church, we got a brand new microwave. Yes. So that the door actually shuts on, you know, and it works. And so you can just kind of even barely, you don't even have to slam it. You can just click and it shuts. And I don't think any microwave rays come out or anything. So it's awesome. And so I put it in there, 1 minute, cook it, pop it open, and my oatmeal has exploded. It's a really good microwave. So now, I'm not eating that stuff, man. It looked like, you know, I don't know, something from Mars by then. But I'm like, you know what? I got a stain on my shirt. I'm not going to get to eat my oatmeal. And guess what?
You're still hungry.
It's all okay. So what? It'll be a nice sermon illustration today, right? So see, sometimes we just got to look at stuff and say, so what? You know, I mean, there are some serious stuff. I get it. But sometimes you just got to say, you know, in the scheme of the whole thing, what's it really going to matter? And be able to move on. Now what? God, what do you want to do in this? What do I do next? What are my steps? So what? God, you're so much bigger than the oatmeal stain on my shirt. You know, if somebody don't like it, you know, I can't do anything about it. It is what it is. And so we just have to be able to get through this. We've got to be able to change our perspective by realizing that sometimes we're in a situation that we're in because God wants to take us through that and allow us to go through it so that somehow on the other side that He can use that for our betterment and for the kingdom's betterment. That He most of all wants to see the gospel go forward and people to come to know Jesus better, become more of who He created them to be. And if He's got to use our situation to do that, then, you know, we've got to be willing to trust Him in it. He won't let us down. He's promised that. So we've got to be able to trust Him. This is what Paul says. Listen, chained to these guards, in prison, can't go do what he wants to do. Can't get out, can't enjoy himself, can't, you know, whatever. He writes this, Philippians 1, verse 21. For to me, living means living for Christ. And dying is even better. He says, listen, if I'm going to live for Christ, that's awesome. I'm going to live for Him. Whether I'm chained up, whatever, I'm going to live for Him. But you know what, if I die? That's even better, because then I go and I'm in His presence forever. So either way, we win. If you have a relationship with Jesus, it says, listen, you can live here with joy in your life, knowing that God loves you and that He wants to do good things in and through you. And even if you take your last breath and listen, through a relationship with me, you're good for the rest of eternity. Set. That's what a relationship with Christ does for us. It's what the good news is. It's what this world needs to hear a lot more of to be able to get through the situations that they're going through. I don't know how people get through the things that they get through without the joy of knowing that God is right there with them, even as difficult and as painful as it could be. We all have a what? And we don't understand the why. God always has a why, though, for our what. And we don't have to understand the why to be able to trust Him through it. So today, are you trusting Him? Are you allowing Him to be God in your life? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for moving in your word. Thank you for sharing, God, that today that we can trust you, that God, that there's a reason why we hurt. There's a reason why we go through the things that we go through. And God, that you go through those with us. When we have a relationship with you, God, that you are there in the midst of everything with us. Today, God, I don't know what situations are and so many lives in this room. I don't know, and God, don't need to know. What I do know, God, is that you are here for us, to go there with us, to care for us and love us through it. The God, that you created us to have fellowship with you, to have a relationship with you. So God, you don't want to abandon us. You want to draw us to you. So God, in this moment, I pray that you'll just move in the hearts of these folks and in my heart. The God, wherever we're not trusting you like we should in our circumstances, God, to be able to fully give that to you. That God, if somebody's here and doesn't have a relationship with you, that today they would be able to trust you and just know that you died on the cross for them, Jesus, that you came and you lived and you gave it all for them so that they could have a relationship with you. So God, I pray that you would give that to whoever it is today, that they would see it and they would receive it and take it. God, for those of us that have that relationship, but maybe we haven't been living that way. We've been stuck in our circumstance and just, God, we've made our circumstance so much bigger than you. But God, we need some new perspective. Because God, you are way bigger than our circumstances. So God, I pray that you'll move in our hearts today as the band plays, God, that you would move in us and change us and help us to become more of who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
with me and sing.